I'm Dr. Leif Tapanilla from the Idaho Museum of Natural History, and I'm here with Peter Pruitt from Zoo Idaho, and this is The Nature of Idaho. Coming to you from the 1B, Bannock County that is, we're talking all about Idaho, its wild places and wild faces, the natural setting that makes Idaho an incredible place to live and be proud of. Today on The Nature of Idaho, we complete our conversation with retired astronaut Barbara Morgan. We had such a great conversation with her that we couldn't fit it into a regular show. So if you missed part one, you can find it on our podcast. We hope you enjoy the second half of our time with Barbara Morgan. She's an Idaho teacher and retired astronaut from NASA's Space Shuttle program. Thank you for joining us today on The Nature of Idaho. So when you look at Earth, by contrast to that creamy black that you described of space, of outer space, the Earth must appear really, really bright by contrast.
Another great question. So it depends on what side of the planet you're on, right? So going 17,500 miles per hour, you are orbiting the Earth every 90 minutes, every hour and a half. Get 45 minutes of day, 45 minutes of night, 45 minutes of day, 45 minutes of night. And of course, when you're on the daytime side, yes, Earth is so bright and shiny and absolutely gorgeous. And I've got a funny story to share with you about that. So, you know, we have all this work to do, very little time to look out the window on these short 2-week missions to help construct the International Space Station. But one night we decided as a crew to stay up late, take a break, and just hang out together on the flight deck, quietly looking out the windows through as much of one orbit as we could. And we were all oohing and aahing, of course, but quietly to ourselves, so we weren't bothering each other. And all of a sudden, after, oh gosh, we probably had been doing this for about 20 minutes or so, my commander, Scott Kelly, pipes up and says, "I don't know why we call this planet Earth. We should call it water."
Yes.
Kind of makes sense, right?
There's not a lot of the Earth compared to the water.
No, it was it like 70% water? So there you go. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but what another real prize to me, and it was to all of us, was when you are on the daytime side of the Earth. So for example, right now, if you were to step outside and look up, you know, we're looking through what do you see?
When we look up, we're going to see some clouds. We're going to see the blue sky.
Yeah. So you're going to see lots of blue, gray, white, depending on the day, right? Doesn't it look like that, like it just goes on forever?
Yes, it does.
So when you are on the daytime side of the planet in space, you know, 300 miles up or whatever, that blackness of space that I talked about earlier, that pitch black, goes all the way down to the edge of the planet. So it is pitch black during the daytime, all the way down to the edge of the planet. And it's so hard to wrap your head around when you see that. And then you look at the edge of the planet and of the horizon, and all of that atmosphere that we're looking through from our perspective on Earth, all of that blue and white and gray or combination, from that perspective in space, it is incredibly thin. And I'm holding up my fingers to myself, and I've got my fingers spread, you know, my thumb and my forefinger to about an eighth of an inch at most. It's like the skin of an apple compared to the rest of the apple. So everything that we're looking through from our perspective here on Earth, all that atmosphere that looks like it goes on forever, is incredibly thin. And it's an incredible, you know, resource that we share. And you start thinking about that. You think about, wow, all the plants, all the animals, all the human beings, all across the planet, we're all sharing this incredibly thin resource. And it puts our planet, our Earth, our home, into a very different perspective. And helps, you know, for one, you realize that we are all on a spaceship Earth, and we're you know, hurtling through Earth at through space at this incredible speed, and we're all in this and all on this planet and all in this spaceship together. And it's truly the reason why I am hopeful that at some point not too far down the road, anyone across the planet who would like to fly in space would be able to fly in space. For me, simply to get that perspective, because I think if we can all get that perspective, we're all going to do a much better job taking care of our planet and also taking care of each other and taking care of all the other inhabitants on this planet.
It's a perception of scale. You know, we're sitting here on this planet and things look quite big from where we're standing. But when you're out in space looking back at the Earth, we realize just how tiny our planet and we as humanity really are in the vastness of that black behind it and around it.
You described it much better than I can.
I also think of a landscape without geopolitical boundaries. There's no country borders when you're looking back from your vantage point, and the knowledge that we're all interconnected. What I do matters to you, even if we're separated in different countries. And the oneness of the planet is a pretty special thing.
Absolutely. I love the way you both describe this. That is so true. One thing that you can see, yes, we don't see those, you know, like when you're looking on a map or on a globe, you definitely see the lines between the counties, the states, the countries, et cetera. Of course, yes, from space, you don't see those, but you can see human impact. So, for example, in the Middle East, you can see where a country has, you can see that division between irrigated landmass and non-irrigated landmass. And sometimes that is along political borders or country borders, but there's no, you know, painted red line or anything like that.
I do have to brag, though, coming from Iowa, you can see the east and west borders of the state of Iowa from space. You've got the Mississippi and the Missouri River, so take that.
Very nice. Okay, I was trying to be all foofy about it. Okay, fine.
Absolutely. In Idaho, of course, you can see that border that we call a border, that's the Snake River, right?
That's right. That's right. This is true. So now you're back here under macrogravity, I guess, as it were, and you're an educator by trade, and you know you've had an experience that relatively few people in humanity have had the opportunity. How does this translate to, you know, I can think of maybe your life in a before space and after space context. How does this inform your teaching and an encouragement of people to how they regard nature?
Another great question. So, you know, I have to let you know I'm retired from teaching now, but still heavily involved. And my hat goes off to all the teachers who are doing such a fantastic job in our state and beyond, and especially in these really tough, challenging times we have right now with the coronavirus pandemic. But, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, that kids learn best by doing, and I think there's nothing more important than getting our kids out to actually be a part of the world that they're part of, to be a part of the natural world, and to have opportunities to do all kinds of observation and ask questions, try to find answers to those questions. We call that science. And there are many, many different ways to do that. For example, one of the things that kids and parents can do immediately is to go outside. I love taking 100-inch hikes. So find some area, you know, in your own backyard or down the street or any place, and mark out 100 inches. And if you can, if you have access to a magnifying lens, even if you don't, but if you have access to a magnifying lens, that makes it even better. And take a 100-inch hike and do as much deep exploring as you can. And I think you're going to discover some very interesting things. And it's just an example.
Well, and I think too, even you think about the 100-inch hike, and then Leif was mentioning some geopolitical boundaries. You know, you get out and you discover, you explore, and you do. That leads to, as these children grow up and move into adulthood and beyond, you know, they become active. They're no longer sedentary. They are active and they are doers. And it starts back, like you said, as something as small as a 100-inch plot, a square, discovering something that's inside that 100-inch section that you would have just walked right on past because you got to get to the playground.
I love how you said that. Absolutely. You know, kids start out with, think about it, kids are natural explorers, right? They can certainly be out by a river or out by a lake or a pond, by a creek. But they're natural explorers. They, you know, from even in your home, those toddlers are natural explorers. Even before toddlerhood, kids are putting their feet in their mouths, you know, exploring their feet. And kids are natural explorers. So that's what it means to be a human being. And the more we can then continue on and actually provide more opportunities for them to explore our natural world. I always like to say, we need to get, you know, the best way to learn is to get some stardust on you. And if we can get kids out into the natural world, that get them exploring on their own, they're going to have so much better learning and a deeper appreciation of what it is we're trying to learn as we occupy our short time, you know, on this planet and in this universe. And the earlier and more often that they can experience that for themselves, the more we're all learn, and I think we'll also have a better idea of stewardship.
Now, one of the things that we were talking about earlier that I want to make sure we promote here is the Idaho Science and Aerospace Scholars Program. Could you tell us about that?
You bet. I love this program. The Idaho Science and Aerospace Scholars Program, or ISAS for short, capital I, capital S, capital A, capital S, was started in 2008. It is managed and run by our wonderful Idaho State Department of Education, and so you can find more information about it there. It is a program for high school juniors, and the application period is during the fall, so, you know, August, September, October, November. Of the students' junior years. It is for any junior across the state of Idaho, and we've had students involved from every location in Idaho, every corner, or every district in Idaho and every corner of Idaho. And they spend their spring semester on a course offered by Idaho Digital Learning and the State Department of Education. And it's a NASA curriculum, so they learn a lot about space exploration. They learn about the history of it. It's also science and a little bit of engineering and mathematics, technology, and it's a very interactive course. And then at the end of that course, when we're not in a pandemic, every one of those students who completes the course gets to participate in a very interactive, hands-on, in-person, full-day academy abbration. There's one in eastern Idaho, one in southern Idaho, and one in northern Idaho, where they get to meet with scientists and engineers and learn about the work that they're doing, and they also do a lot of hands-on activities and get to meet each other. So, and it's also for their parents as well. So we really try to help them see what all the great STEM opportunities are for them, all the great STEM work that's going on in the state, and how it relates to the bigger picture to our nation and internationally. And then the top 88 students, sometimes more, depending on the situation, but they get to participate in the summer in one of summer academies that are week-long, very intense and very fun, intensive and fun summer academies, residential at Boise State, and they also that also includes 2 days of touring and other activities at the NASA Ames Research Center down in California. And this is an all-expenses-paid program, and the students get both high school credits for this, and they can also get dual credits, so university credits for this as well. It's a fabulous program.
So Idaho's...
I would encourage all juniors, if even if you don't know if this is something, you know, that you're interested, even if you don't know for sure if it's STEM, that, you know, STEM field that you're interested, sign up. You're going to learn a ton. You're going to be get to meet a lot of fascinating people, and it's a real eye opener and also a great door opener for future opportunities.
So Idaho makes it easy for kids to get stardust all over them.
Absolutely. This is in partnership with NASA. There are currently 5 aerospace scholars programs. It started at the NASA Johnson Space Center. The Texas has had it, has provided it for Texas students for years and years. We in Idaho have had this program since 2008. It's also in Virginia and Washington, the state of Washington and Montana. So we're very lucky, one of the few. We hope it will continue to grow for all the states, but it's just a super opportunity for our Idaho students.
Well, I got to really thank you again for bringing awareness to that program, but also, you know, sharing your experience of going up into space, something I think a lot of us are very envious of. But you speak so eloquently of it, and thank you for doing so. You know, I started the conversation today with a trivia question about the songs that NASA played for you when you were up in space on board the shuttle. Could you help us with that trivia question?
Great. So, yeah, when in the space shuttle world, we were awakened every morning by a special song, and for each of the crew members, so one per day. So it rotated through the crew members, and these are songs that usually are picked by our families. So the answer to your trivia question, and it's always a surprise to us on board, and that was a fun surprise every morning to wake up to some great music. So one morning, my wake-up song for our crew that my family picked for me was Teacher, Teacher.
Of course. Of course they did.
I suppose, I mean, it could have been Hot for Teacher. We might have to edit that one out.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Now, I understand they played a second song for you as well.
Yeah, actually, it was the first song, and that was a wonderful song. I mean, I love the Teacher, Teacher, but I love this story even more. So the first day that my song was played for all of us, that was picked by my crew, was this wonderful short song that I absolutely love, and it's called Good Morning World, and the lyrics are fantastic. The guitar playing and the singing, it's all just a wonderful song. Well, to me, the wonderful surprise is that song was written and performed and recorded by my son, Adam, who was a youngster at the time. And his recording studio was the quietest place he could find in our home, which was the little closet in his bedroom.
I love that. Well, that's so sweet that he could wake up mom with one of his own songs 300 miles away.
And mom wasn't wonderful. Upset with getting woken up
and
too
mom
early.
Wasn't upset.
All right. We really want to thank Barbara Morgan for joining us today. To learn more about the Idaho Science and Aerospace Scholars, please visit sde.idaho.gov.
Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Barbara.
The Nature of Idaho is produced at KISU-FM Studios at Idaho State University in Pocatello. Technical assistance and production by Jamin Anderson and Caitlin Hart. Music is by Idaho's very own Sons of Bannock. Audio of this and all past episodes of The Nature of Idaho can be found at KISU.org. Find The Nature of Idaho weekly podcast on iTunes or Google Play Music. For more information, click on the Idaho logo at KISU.org or send email to NOIDKISU@ISU.edu.